Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Jazakallah for tuning in for tonight's bedtime reading. Last week, we learnt how our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was employed by Khadija radhiyallahu anha to sell goods on her behalf. Tonight, we shall learn about our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first journey as an employee of Khadija radhiyallahu anha. Tonight's chapter is called An Extraordinary Man. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Heavily laden with goods full of promise, 2,000 camels set out from Mecca. Their decorative saddles and hill-like dromedaries bobbed up and down as they embarked. It was a sight to behold, for there were camels of every breed, camels of every hue, bronze, red-brown, sandy, beige, raw umber and tan-coloured beasts. The residents of Mecca came out of their homes in their droves and waved as 100 men accompanying the great caravan rode by. Young and old, men, women and children lined the pathways out of the city to witness the marvellous spectacle of the caravan snaking out into the desert like a long meandering serpent. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bade his uncles and cousins a hearty farewell, for he knew that he would not see them for many weeks to come. The journey to Basra was a familiar one to him, as he had made the trip before with his uncle Abu Talib. Khadija radhiyallahu anha sent her most trusted servant Maisara to accompany Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his first assignment with a caravan. Departing on his camel with Maisara by his side, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was determined to make the trip a fruitful one, one that Khadija radhiyallahu anha would be pleased with. Storms of dust cascaded all around as one rider galloped ahead on his horse, his turban wrapped around his face, such that only his dark eyes were visible. He was a caravan guide, and it was his job to keep the watch for nasty highway robbers and dangerous surprises that might lurk in the path ahead. If there was any sign of trouble, he would bolt back to the leader of the caravan as quick as lightning, and the caravan would be averted to a new route. The leader, flanked by his men, also rode ahead of the main body of the caravan, carrying an enormous banner. The banner was the focal point for the whole group. As long as the flag on its end remained closed, the merchants knew there was nothing to fear. If the flag was unfurled, everyone would be on high alert. Throughout the journey, Maisara felt the sun's oppressive heat beating down on his bare back. But when he was riding next to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he noticed a sudden coolness descend, and he looked around frantically for an explanation. Perhaps there is an oasis or a building nearby, he thought, but instead Maisara saw two gigantic clouds that followed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam wherever he went. They followed him so closely that Maisara was convinced that they were alive. Why would these clouds be following Muhammad? He asked himself. Things were not as they seemed, and he wondered what are the strange happenings he would witness on this curious journey. They travelled up to 40 miles a day in the blistering heat and every evening, as if to reward them for their daytime toil. The sky would put on a spectacular display of dancing colours, azure blue, fading to deep rose colour, melding into magenta and honey tones, before the sun slowly set and night engulfed the horizon. Dazzling stars, like diamond jewels, studded the silky blackness enveloping them as they set up the encampment for the night. Covering his bare shoulders with a woolen blanket, Maisara lay back on his mat and enjoyed the breathtaking view. The impressive eastern Roman city of Basra was marked by its enormous arches and dark, solid buildings. Elaborate parapets, along with the balconies and streets, lined with grand colonnades, gave the city an imposing atmosphere. Basra's amphitheatre had a gleaming white marble exterior and was packed to the gate with thousands of people. The captivated crowds shook their fists while cheering on gladiators or circus performers. Nestor, the monk, sauntered towards his solitary grey cell, leaning on his stick for support. His day had been spent in worshipping at the monastery and helping the destitute paupers of the city by giving out alms. Nestor rubbed his tired eyes. He stopped suddenly, cocking an ear to the noisy clamour of thousands of hooves encroaching upon the hush of his peaceful afternoon. A marvellous caravan had arrived at the city gate near the monastery. He was too intrigued to rest now. He tiptoed up the hill overlooking Bosra's great gates, squinting his eyes in order to identify where the new arrivals had come from. Observing the distinct turbans and long cloaks of the new arrivals, Nestor recognized them as Arabs. The Arab merchants looked up at the imposing masonry walls with their fortified gates, which ensured controlled exit and entry to the city. Domed cathedrals adorned with crucifixes and a basilica housing Christian monks were features of the city that were novel to the Arabs. Roman baths and well-looked-after gardens, lush with greenery and flowers, were a great contrast to the arid, simple desert lifestyle that the Arabs were used to. At the magnificent gates of Bosra, Nestor saw the travellers greeting the hefty, broad-shouldered Eastern European guards. They were an impressive sight, with their tough armour, large breastplates, with knee-length blue woollen tunics underneath, complete with heavy boots strapped with leather. The shining gold helmets fitted close to their head and gave them a menacing look as you could hardly see their eyes. Each guard held a large spear in one hand and a heavy round shield in the other, and ushered the merchants to a vast square. There they would find stables, troughs of food and water for the animals, and plenty of space for the caravans to unload. The Roman officials seemed familiar with the Arab tradesmen and welcomed them warmly, offering them water skins to refresh themselves. So inshallah, we'll carry on with this chapter in next week's reading, inshallah. So subhanAllah, from this part of the chapter, we've also learned tonight how our Prophet ﷺ was protected even before prophethood. SubhanAllah. Now, before we finish off, a polite reminder for all our listeners to recite durood upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly. And in keeping with the tradition of reminding ourselves of bringing sunnah into our lives, tonight's sunnah is how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. Abu Huraira radiallahu anha reported that the Messenger of Allah said, "The deeds are presented on Monday and Thursday. Thus, I love for my deeds to be presented while I am fasting." And this hadith has been taken from Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Now, a final reminder before we end tonight's reading, my dear listeners, that we should all try to pray the bedtime dua. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. SubhanAllah. As always, huge jazakallah for joining us tonight. Inshallah, I really hope you can join us next week. Assalamu alaikum.